It's almost Halloween. Plastic tombstones and dancing skeletons are everywhere you look. But how does Wyoming handle actual death? Wyoming Public Radio's Annie Osborne spoke with someone whose job it was to be in the presence of the dead.
I'm talking today with Casey Vernon, who served as Albany County Coroner for 4 years. Casey, how did you get started in this field? What in your background prepared you for something like this?
So my mom was a homicide detective, and my father was in law enforcement too. So I kind of had this strange upbringing where forensics was a really big part of my life. And then I was in the anthropology program at the University of Wyoming, and I met the coroner at the time, Tom Ferguson, and basically hassled him until he, like, let me work for him.
Do you have a sense of why this is an elected position? Is there a lot of politics involved in this field?
Obviously, it's not a partisan position, although when I was running for office, I learned that people will make pretty much anything partisan if given the chance. The reason, though, or a reason that the coroner is an elected position is because one of the functions of the coroner's office is to, like, serve as a check on other branches of investigation, and also because historically people have been of the opinion that the person who decides what happens to your body when you die or what happens to, say, your stuff, that, like, any person should have some kind of say.
What did an average day look like?
There was definitely no such thing as an average day. I mean, there were tons and tons of days. Because this is a place with a pretty low population, you or the coroner doesn't have something to do every single day in terms of someone being deceased and having to respond to that.
For those of us who don't have that background with our parents investigating death, how is it different than what we see on CSI?
Many investigative departments are very underfunded. So the really cool technology that you see on CSI, A, usually doesn't necessarily exist in the first place, but even if it does, it's not. A lot of departments are in a situation where they're like, I hope we can afford plenty of gloves, let alone can we get a hologram? I worked for the medical examiner's office in Onondaga County, which is where Syracuse is in upstate New York. To a certain degree, we did get some results there more quickly than we would here because it's a really integrated office that has, like, their own lab facilities. But in a place like Albany County where you're sending everything out, I mean, you're relying on another agency. So it can be very variable in how long it takes. It's definitely never 24 hours, though.
What was the strangest scene you were ever called out to?
I get asked a lot when I go out with friends or when I meet a new person, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen? Or what's the most interesting thing you've ever seen? Or have you ever seen anything scary? And what I eventually started telling people was that everything I saw was really interesting and that I just didn't really think about it like that anymore because the people that I was dealing with were, to me, real people. And it was oftentimes very sad or just at least very, very serious and very heavy.
A lot of times the family would be present. It's not kind of a barren crime scene.
Oh, yeah. Definitely much more often than not, there's at least one person, usually like quite a few people present that will be interviewed and sometimes sort of advised by like the coroner or medical examiner's office.
What kind of questions would folks have?
By and large, people don't really know what happens after you die, and not like just in terms of, you know, is there an afterlife, but like, where does your body go? Then what happens? What do we do? Is there going to be an autopsy? Do I have to pay for an autopsy? Does my insurance have anything to do with this? What do I do with all of these legal issues?
What would be your biggest piece of advice for folks going through that situation where a loved one has just passed away?
I saw a lot of people who were intrinsically or by like their upbringing very strong, capable people trying to deal with this incredibly confusing, overwhelming situation on their own. And so at scenes, my staff and I would try to ask, is there somebody that we can call to be here with you? Because you're going to forget to drink water or that you need to go to bed at a certain point or to eat.
And would you serve as a point person after that initial meeting?
I hope so. I like to think that that was a big part of my job. I always made my contact information available, which sometimes resulted in, you know, like lots and lots of phone calls if people had lots of questions, or like phone calls at strange hours because I just gave everyone my cell phone number. The funny thing about being the coroner is people will just call you and ask you questions when they don't necessarily have a loved one who's recently deceased. They just are curious. Like, with an interesting level of frequency, get questions from people, like, usually about themselves, actually. Can I just get buried in, like, a cardboard box? Do I have to go through a funeral home? And usually my answer was, I don't know. You should maybe talk to a lawyer.
Did you notice any difference in the kind of questions people asked when you were in Syracuse versus things that might come up in Wyoming and in more rural areas?
Oh, yeah. Wyoming is a place where it's a little bit more acceptable to even have this, well, can I get buried in my own backyard kind of thought. That's not necessarily something that would occur to a lot of New Yorkers.
That was Casey Vernon, former Albany County coroner, sharing her experiences with the dead. Thank you so much, Casey. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.
For the next phase in her career, Vernon wants to focus on a different part of the circle of life. She's studying